This is Perspectives. I'm Laura Kiernan. 14 years ago, then White House Press Secretary Jim Brady was shot in the head by John Hinckley during an attempt to assassinate President Reagan. For Brady, who was at the peak of his career, his wife Sarah, and then 2-year-old son Scott, life would change drastically. The head wound left Brady permanently disabled. I spoke with Jim Brady after a visit to New Hampshire for an appearance at the Technology Expo sponsored by the Granite State Living Foundation and by the Assistive Technology Partnership Project at the University of New Hampshire. Brady is now vice chairman of the National Brain Injury Association. I asked him about his biography, Thumbs Up, written by Molly Dickinson. It recalls that in 1983, after 2 years of grueling physical therapy, Jim Brady realized that he would not completely recover. He entered the world of the disabled, the book says, and began a new role as a spokesman for others like him.
I guess I was told one way or another that it's give back time. And it's something I wanted to do. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm in various not-for-profit foundations and groups, giving back what was given back to me in my life.
Through people who worked with you in the course of your recovery?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Some did and some didn't.
Yeah. And I know in what I think has become a familiar style for you, you've described some of your, the physical therapist, for example, is a pain
physical
and
terrorist.
Right, pain and torture terrorist, that's right. And occupational therapist says obvious torture.
Yes.
What do you remember when you look back on that long period that you've spent in recovery?
One word comes to mind, ouch.
How difficult was it, Mr. Brady? Can you describe that for us?
Well, you know, when you go back in the gym and all the physical terrorists were slight people, small, but they all knew leverage. And if they wanted to put you from one end of the mat to the other, they could do it. And they did it.
Did there come a point, though, when you realized that no matter how hard you worked, you weren't going to be able to overcome some of the injuries from the gunshot wound?
Yes.
When was that?
And I'm still realizing that.
Are you? I'm wondering, how do you realize that? Is it sort of in your day-to-day activity when you can't do things that you want to do? Or?
Yeah, like dress oneself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I realized that I wasn't going to spend the rest of my time on Earth naked. So I was going to have to figure out some method that this was done either for me or by me. And when I would try it myself, it was a dismal failure.
Does your wife help you?
I have two nurses that help me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How important has your sense of humor been in dealing with this, Mr. Brady?
Extremely important. When I talk to people who are also physically challenged, I have really two messages. I say, one, persevere. It's always darkest before the dawn. And two, maintain your sense of humor. If I would look back in my mind's eye and think of what I did sometimes, I'd be told by a physical terrorist to do this. And then if I didn't laugh at myself at what the result was when I tried to do it, you know, I was just too stiff and too stuffy or rigid to ever make the cut. And so I realized that it was an ally.
Your sense of humor.
Yes. And I also realized that every now and then you get someone who was really whipping it on you into a different state of mind where they'd be laughing at you or with you, that maybe it didn't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd try that.
You know, I read in Molly Dickinson's biography of you, which is called Thumbs Up, that your personal philosophy was, even though you get knocked on your keister, you keep getting up and you go back in the line and back in the line and back in the line.
That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get so tired, you don't want to get back in that down in that three-point stance and be hit by that nose tackle again. But I don't know. It seems like physical terrorism is a profession of cliches. They say no pain, no gain. And since I was getting a lot of pain, I must be gaining one hell of a lot.
Well, what have you gained? Can you describe to us the progress that you've made since?
Well, if I had a 3x5 card and I wrote down on the card all the things I was never going to do again, and when I did them, you know, it'd be like a personal mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Like live, walk, eat. All these various things they said, you. I hope you didn't get used to that back in your other life because you're not going to be able to do it again. And then afternoon, I'd do it. And maybe part of it is Irish stubbornness or just meanness. I'm getting smiles around the room now when I said meanness.
Are you mean?
I try to be not a grizzly bear, but a big brown cuddly bear.
My guest is former White House Press Secretary Jim Brady. He's the vice chairman of the National Brain Injury Association. Let me ask you a question. This is a journalistic question, Mr. Brady, about what happened after you were shot. Many of us remember very vividly that some of the networks, I think beginning with CBS, reported that you had died.
Yeah, all of them did, as a matter of fact.
When you look back at that, what do you think, journalistically, about what happened then?
Well, I think of what the late Frank Reynolds said. Can't we ever get anything right here? And the man was absolutely gone ballistic. You know, here's someone with 38 researchers, and had you dealt with me in the White House, you would know that I always returned press calls as quickly as I could. And most of them would have known, just call him with a question. If you don't get an answer back, there's something wrong, he's gone. Or they could have called my assistant, Sally McElroy. And I had drummed into Sally the same code that I operated under. You people, I would tell my people, assume that everyone is always on deadline and get that answer back as quickly as you can.
But the CBS, if I recall, claimed that they had gotten the information from the White House.
Not from my office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you're referring to the late Frank Reynolds, there was an extraordinary moment, I think, on TV history when he was on the air and said, let's get it nailed down. Somebody, please nail this down. They were talking about whether you were alive or not after this.
Yes. And was it W.C. Fields said that rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated and rumors of mine were greatly exaggerated. I had to spend one afternoon calling people saying, I know what you heard, but it's not true. I'm still here.
Did you literally do that?
Yes, I did.
How long after the shooting was that?
Well, it was a week or so because I would have been incapable of doing it because one of the things I couldn't do after the shooting was speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the speech terrorists, I didn't mind going to their sessions because they didn't hurt you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember them asking their chief, do we really have to teach him how to talk again? It's so pleasant to come in here and not catch all the shucking and jiving that comes out of him. And their chief said, teach him. And they'd say, put your tongue on the roof of your mouth and say the letter G. I'd say G. And all of a sudden, I was hanging paragraphs and sentences together, and it was back. they said the one thing we forgot to install was an off switch. If we could just install an off switch, so if when he starts this again, just flip the off switch, and then that he's silent then.
My guest is former White House Press Secretary Jim Brady. Mr. Brady, I know that, I think it was about in 1985 or 86, that you told David Hartman, who used to be with ABC News, that there were some aspects of your recovery and what you were able to do or not do that you found humiliating at that time. I think that was the word that you used. Do you still feel that way now?
Yes.
Do you?
When you sit in a chair and you're people are constantly looking down on you, and you're constantly cricking your neck to look up to even be able to speak to people. I mean, after a while, that begins to take its toll. It's a slow process, but you go into a place to have lunch, and the waitress comes over, and she would look at my wife and says, "And what does he want to eat for lunch?" And Sarah would rear up and said, "You're a foot from him. Ask him yourself."
And does she?
Yes, and then you have to understand the relationships bears have with foods. I'm sure being in New Hampshire, you understand that.
I should explain to our listeners that your nickname was the Bear, if they don't remember that.
I am the Bear.
Right. Go ahead. So what's the relationship between bears and food, Mr. Brady?
Bears love food. And were you able to see me today, you would see that I probably married food. I'm a large person.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question about that waitress. I'm wondering, you know, for somebody to say something like that is obviously insensitive at a minimum. You know, you're in such a different position now in your life. I'm wondering how you look at those two things now and think, you know, before March 30th, 1981, I wonder if I would have given this any thought.
Yes, I think you're correct. But at the same time, it still is a put down that, you know, it hurts you right in your heart. You feel it. And another thing was when the book came out for Morrow, they sent us on an 8-city book tour. And I was in the West somewhere, and a network correspondent came up. She said, "Mr. Brady, I have a question to ask you." And she said, "It's a personal question. Perhaps you don't want to answer. Did it hurt?" And you think...
Did you laugh?
No, I says, actually, I go around and I hit myself with a ball-peen hammer every now and then because I'm starting to get better, and I won't know how to act, you know, when I'm back.
This is Perspectives. I'm Laura Kiernan. My guest today is former White House Press Secretary Jim Brady. He's the Vice Chairman of the National Brain Injury Association. Your wife, Sarah, is a well-known public figure now, along with yourself, of course, in terms of your work for gun control laws. I wonder if you might tell us a little bit about how your injury and your recovery has affected your relationship with Sarah.
Well, we have grown closer because I am Mr. Sarah Brady. She's my boss at Handgun Control. I work for her. She tells me what to do, and it's usually the correct thing to do. And it's given me another cause to work at, and I'm doing that.
In Molly Dickinson's book, she describes in great detail how Sarah has been at your side since the moment that she heard that you were injured and arrived at the hospital. For other persons, if you were speaking to other persons with brain injuries, can you describe to us how important that is in terms of a successful recovery?
It's very important because Sarah also was very friendly with Dr. Cobrine and my other caregivers. And they'd say, "We want him to do this." And she'd say, "Now, honey, they want you to do this, do it. And I would try my darndest to do it. If I could do it, it was done. I mean, it's like having an interpreter there in the room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the issues that you've talked about for the Brain Injury Association is accessibility for the disabled. Have you found that to be a problem for yourself?
Yes. I think there isn't anyone that's in a chair or physically challenged that doesn't find accessibility a huge problem.
Are you in a wheelchair now all the time,
I am, and as we speak, I'm in one.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe to us what it's like when you face an obstacle where you can't get into a building or into a restaurant or onto an elevator?
Huge frustration.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten kind of cagey. I figured out how to get around some of these things.
How?
If you face the same old bugaboo day in and day out, you say, there's got to be a way to do this because others before me have done it. And I think of myself sometimes as extremely forgetful, but I don't think of myself as stupid. And then, you know, I'll figure out how to do it.
Well, how do you do it? Do you go get the manager? Do you complain? Do you?
I've done both of those.
Mm-hmm. And
or go get a large person to help take you across an axle breaker, a pothole, or something like that.
Let me ask you: do you think that lawmakers or officials are unsympathetic to how difficult it can be for a disabled person to get around? Do you think they have an appreciation of how hard it is?
No, because they have no frame of reference. I can remember we did a program in Florida, and the man that granted variances for various architectural things was with us, and he spent the day in the chair, and he says, I'm going to think a whole lot differently about what variances I grant now and which ones I don't. And I thought in my own mind, bingo. I said, the whole trip down here was worth it just to hear that man say that. I think it's out of no frame of reference or haven't walked a mile in his moccasins. It's not that they want to hurt you or be mean to you. It's just they're clueless.
Hmm. Do you find the same thing when you and Sarah lobby for gun laws? And, of course, a bill that carries your name, the Brady Bill, requires a waiting period before a person can buy a handgun. That, too, was a long time in coming. And some say
9 years.
9 years. Do you think, Mr. Brady, that by seeing you in a wheelchair arguing for gun control laws, that made a difference?
I've been told it did.
Do you think that it did? Is
yes.
that why you decided to do it?
That and other reasons.
Why else?
Well, because I know what a bitch it is to get around.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are 49 million of us that are having the same problems I'm having. The greatest thing one loses when they're injured like this is loss of independence. I face and look at something because that's where someone else wants me to face and look at. It's not something that I choose.
My guest is former White House Press Secretary Jim Brady. Mr. Brady, in Molly Dickinson's book, she talked about John Hinckley, the man who shot you. And she said at one point that you were afraid of him, afraid that he might someday get out of the hospital that he's in now. Can I ask you how you feel about him now?
Well, I haven't had basically worked up myself into a negative posture because that's essentially negative. I just try to spend that time on on teaching myself to do something else,
mm-hmm.
and then I go ahead and do it. But if I was spending all my time in a blue funk over that, I'd get nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't spend a lot of time on understanding that had the Brady Law been in effect, he wouldn't have gotten that gun at Luby's Pawn Shop in Texas.
Do you look back on the shooting at all now? It's been 14 years.
I've tried to suppress it as much as I can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know how healthy that is, but it's one of my ways of coping with it.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking as we're talking about it, too, that, you know, you were such a visible public figure. You were, in effect, a member of the press corps. And people like we are today always ask you about it.
Yeah, and every anniversary, they play what I would liken to the Zapruder films, you know, that they had of Kennedy.
Right.
That every time there was the anniversary of the Kennedy shooting in Dallas, they play the Zapruder films. And I'm sure that John and Caroline do not like to see Daddy smoked. And nor do I like to see myself being shot. That the person who took the camcorder films of that day, I dread when anniversary day comes around.
Do you just ignore it? Try to ignore it?
Yes, I try to ignore it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it isn't. I'm not in denial.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened. I can still feel it. At least on my right side, I can still feel it. I have hemiparesis. I have a left side that doesn't work. When I go into a room, I look around the room and see if I'm going to fall down where I should go to fall. I don't want to crush someone's Louis Couture's chair. Because at 231 pounds, if I landed on it, it would be splinters, toothpicks.
Nothing stops you, though, does it? I mean, your humor is there, and you carry on.
Well, you have to play the hand that's dealt you. And that's what I'm trying to play as best I can. Sometimes I play it better than other times.
Well, Mr. Brady, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Laura.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye now. Bye, New Hampshire.
Former White House Press Secretary Jim Brady was wounded during a 1981 attempted assassination on President Reagan. He's now the vice chairman of the National Brain Injury Association. We spoke with Jim Brady from the studios of National Public Radio in Washington. Perspectives is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our show is produced by Nancy Greenlease and Scott McPherson. I'm Laura Kiernan. Thanks for listening.